were either yee-haw or like old maid kind of days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want this to be a day.
A yee-haw day.
Despite your feelings, okay, about how it may be a mother or maybe even you who might even feel like you didn't do things right. Is that okay? Before I start, let me pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, this morning be glorified. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this message, and I believe it's for every mother here, but also even if there might be one that even tunes in on the wherever Penny puts this stuff on Facebook, I don't know, but Lord, that might be that one today. Your love is so strong. Your power is so strong. You said, Lord Jesus, like that one that was lost, you left the 99 for that one. And if it's for that one today, I thank you for it. But Lord, let us all just see this story of the Bible, the woman of the Bible that, Lord, you've directed me to speak on today, that, God, that we can all see hope, a future. God, we can see that you love us so much despite all our blunders and mess up. God, you never leave us. You never forsake us. And your love never fails. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We having technical difficulties over there?
No.
All right, just a buzz.
Okay.
Well, I got helmet head today. Y'all forgive me. I'm kind of felt that stick up right there.
Can I turn that off or do you need that on?
Yeah, you can turn it off. I think I can see without it with the window open. With my glasses on, let me just say that. Let me turn it down. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
Little glow.
I look at you and
yeah. You get look at me a lot. Just look at the word. We're gonna be over in 2 Samuel. You got your Bible?
Anybody need a Bible? We got them.
Yep, they're in front of you, right there, pretty much in the seats, all the way across in front of you. And I'll encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, if you want one of those, you can take them. Those were donated to us. I got a case of them from the chaplaincy. And so, anybody know what 2 Samuel 12? We're going to be over there. So,
and if you don't know where it is, there's normally a table of contents in the front. So don't feel bad. You can't figure it out.
There's 1 and there's 2 Samuel. Yep, and it's table of contents will tell on, right? So today, y'all, we're going to talk about 2 Samuel 12. A lady who we all know pretty much, and even young people in church, or even people that's not even been in church have heard of. Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Bathsheba? Anybody? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
David's wife. She became his wife.
Okay, what else?
Mother of Solomon.
Okay, what else?
Had an affair with David.
Go ahead.
But she was like super rich.
She's super rich? Okay.
Yeah.
What else? But what is the one thing, though, that stands out about her? Most to everybody. And you said it out loud, but anybody. Adulteress, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was an adulteress with David. Now, so again, like I said, this is kind of a different type of a message coming from Bathsheba. Is probably one of the least likely people you'll probably preach on. And as the Lord led me through this and some of the studies I've been doing in wisdom and Solomon and all this stuff, and as I was praying about her this today, about Mother's Day, you know, you could choose a lot of women in the Bible, but why her, Lord? And so the Lord began to open my eyes to so many things, and I went and did some research, and there isn't a lot of people who've ever spoke or preached on Bathsheba for Mother's Day. But I did find one guy who did, and I got some good stuff from him, and also, Lord, give me some stuff. But today, we're going to concentrate on Bathsheba. And so, it's kind of a different kind of thing to speak on, but you may ask yourself, why? Why her? So, we're going to look at some reasons we're able... somebody tell me, why is it that we can forgive David, pretty much, right? I mean, David, everybody. But Bathsheba, she kind of just falls on the background as basically the adulteress, right? And there's nothing ever really talked about her. And so today I hope to kind of change your mindset on this woman of God, and that she was a woman of God, and she wasn't just an adulteress, but that she was a loving woman who was destined for greatness, and God had a plan for her life. And so, as we look at the story, for most part, I want to skip all the adultery stuff and concentrate basically on the factors in her life that speak very well of her, okay? And show how in reality she is simply a godly woman with a skeleton in the closet. For some strange reason, most have ignored the fact that she was a godly woman. She really was a godly woman and only remember the skeleton. Why do you think that is? Well, that's the only way we've looked at her. From the Bible.
They say she birthed the wisest man alive. I mean, if it wasn't for King David wanting her, it not only was what she wanted, it was what that king wanted.
Yeah, I can't imagine saying no to the king.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I want you to have that in your thoughts, okay? Hold those thoughts. Very good. Very good. So, yes.
The one that David had his husband.
Yes, she's the one of the adulterous affair, and we're going to talk about all this, okay? So do you really believe in grace or not? Do we really believe in that grace or not? Can you have a horrible past and become a hero of faith or not? If God forgets our sin, why can't we? Why can't we forget some things that maybe we've even gone through, or we've done? Our mothers, our being a mother ourselves. That's one of the hard things for women in life, because you're really connected with a mother as children and as you grow up, right or wrong. Okay? And patterns form in our life from those things and everything. And yes, there is consequences when we mess up. Are they not? So, let's begin by talking about her godly heritage. Let's look there, and then we'll briefly touch on the adultery. We'll go there a little bit with David. And then her godly life after the incident of her adultery and everything. We're gonna close on, and if you got a bookmarker, Proverbs 31. Over there. And anybody know about Proverbs 31, what that consists of, or what the story's about? Somebody tell me. Say that loud. Virtuous woman. A godly, virtuous woman. Okay, Proverbs 31. And so you can bookmark that. We'll be over there and in. But first of all, her godly heritage. Now let's look at this in 2 Samuel 11:3. It says now, we're going to be back to 12 over there, and that's kind of our crux of the summary where we'll be. But in 2 Samuel 11:3, now forgive me if I get these names wrong. I'm just an old country boy, and I do not speak Hebrew, okay? And some of them way beyond my tongue. So she was born to a man called Eliam, okay? 2 Samuel 11:3. Excuse me. Now, who is also called? He's also called Amiel in 1 Chronicles 3 and 5. Both names, now get this, both names mean essentially the same. God is my kinsman. And we could just easily say, I'm a part of the family of God. That's what his name meant. Okay, so that was her father. Now, biblical names, we all know, or we, if you don't know, they're a lot of times prophetic. They're names that mean something in the realm of the Hebrew and all these things, and they're kind of a descriptive of a person's life. Now, Jacob, remember, what was his name? What did it come from? What was it mean? Anybody know that? Remember?
A cheater.
Basically, a deceiver. Now, that all changed, did it not? But, and then David, he was who? The beloved. All right? Or you can look at Moses, and Moses means to draw out. And so we know that God used that name to draw what? His people out of Egypt. So each names meant something in that time, in the period, and still do to this day, to Jewish people. They have a lot of meaning. They may be prophetic. So Elam was an Old Testament example of a true child of God. And this is her father. In 2 Samuel 23 is listed of David's mighty men of valor. And you can see that over there in 23. It has all the men of valor in that whole chapter of 23 in the end there, starting about 22 over there. And down at the bottom, you'll see his name. And it's listed that he, men who excelled in virtue, fighting skills, they become his most trusted allies. The king and confidants, and Elam is a member of that group, so they knew each other. And Lord, help me with these names. 23:34. Eliphaleth, the son of Ahashbi, the son of Makkethat, Elam, the son of Ethopapel, her grandfather, okay? Eliam's father. So, you see, he's listed here. So, Bathsheba's father had that name that means God is my kinsman. And he was one of David's valiant and trusted soldiers. So, she was raised in a very good family. But she was raised in a good family. You don't get to be in the inner circle without being in a place where you're known, a place of good favor. And so two more important facts in from her father's life was the first, the man he chose for his daughter to marry. Now, it was mentioned a minute ago. And anybody remember his name?
Uriah.
And so it says in 2 Sec 39, he's the last one listed of the men about Uriah the Hittite. So there was 37 of all these men of valor around David. So in likelihood, Uriah was a very known proselyte of the Jews, perhaps inspired himself by David. And most of the time, young men wanted to be like a David, wanted to be like a king. And so most likely he was, you know, following in the footsteps of David, a devout Jew, and Elam, he would have been very careful about who he selected to be his son-in-law, right? If you had your daughter, your beautiful daughter, so you're going to, back then, every marriage was arranged, too. It wasn't who chose, so it was arranged. And so you got to think about that. So he chose a Hittite who speaks a volume of the character and nobility he saw in this man. And if we look in the story also, he not only was a man of valor, he actually was even more a man of valor than David himself, if you think about it. Because in the story, if you remember in the story, David was trying to send him away to what? Have an affair with his wife. And he says, no, no. He stayed at his side. He stayed at David's side to serve him, to be the man that he was called to be, that man of valor. So this young man was something special. And so Elam had chosen him. Uriah is a Hebrew name, listen to this, that is translated light or flame of Yahweh. I like that. Who wouldn't want to have a name like that? Flame of Yahweh. I love that. Or Yahweh is my light. But you know what the horrible thing, the irony of the whole thing is that David may have murdered the very man that he led to the Lord, or he saved. He may have murdered the man that he won to the Lord. Think about that a minute. Yet David is still known as the man after God's own heart. And so we got to look at the whole story. Today I want to suggest to all you ladies out there and that you don't have to have a live a perfect life. You don't have to be special in anyone's eyes but God himself. And you've got to understand that God don't look at the things we do or do wrong. He looks at the things that of obedience. Like it says, obedience is better than sacrifice over in the Old Testament. So we got to look at that, and it's not how you start out.
That's right.
That what matters is how you finish.
Yes.
And that's where I want to go today. It's how you finish the race, like Paul said. He said he learned. It's not something that every one of you as mothers or your mothers, they didn't get it all right. You're not going to get it all right. Bathsheba sure didn't get it all right. But I want you to keep listening and understanding today that God don't look at every blunder and stupidity, everything we do in our life. Ain't you glad for that?
Yes.
Come on, somebody get happy about that today.
Yes.
So I believe strongly that Bathsheba was also a special woman in God's eyes. And not because she was perfect, but like David, she was a woman after God's own heart.
Yes.
She was a woman after God's own heart. Her family history tells us that that was ingrained in this woman. And they followed in that. They weren't like today's society. They were strict on the things that they did back then. Some rituals, some of the law, all that. But still, they understood what it meant to be a godly man or woman. And so the second fact I want to point out about her father is the name of Elam chose of his daughter. Bathsheba means daughter of oath. If you break it down, daughter of oath. And either it's a reference of the promise of Abraham, or some thanksgiving promise made to God. Her father named her this Bathsheba, meaning that it was some type of promise. And so by her father and her mother, it was named her this way. Either way, again, it shines a light on a genuine faith here that her family had. She was raised in a home that honored God, displayed bravery against the Lord's enemy. I mean, her dad was chosen a warrior. He was in the inner circle. And so you see the thing next. Well, I want to look at and talk about her grandfather. That name that I cannot pronounce, and we're going to call him Grandfather.
Call him Grandpa.
So her grandfather, in 2 Samuel 34, you see there, you're going to note later on, he was from Gilio, G-I-L-O. And here in 2 Samuel, it is confirmed that this was her grandfather that was David's counselor. He was David's counselor, her grandfather. You seeing a pattern here? You seeing all this set up? And 2 Samuel 15 and 12, and Absalom sent to for her grandfather, the Gibeonite, David's counselor. Right there it says it. 2 Samuel 15, 12, from his city. And so you see the inner circle again of faith, and each one was connected. So her grandfather said to be a very credible counselor. It said that he was an incredible man, and whose words, it said, almost seem like they come from God himself. Now, how many want a counselor like that? I do. I don't know about you. We've been talking about wisdom and words of wisdom. We need those type of men of God in our life, right? Our women. And so it was said that, and you can find that in 16 and 23. It tells it. So while it's true that her grandfather later turned on David, if you know the story, he actually ended up turning on David, the grandfather, even though he was his counselor. But David himself also described him as a man of devout faith. In Psalms 55, you can find all of it there from 12 to 14. He said, David said, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me that I could bear it, nor is it one who hates or who exalts himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man, my equal." David calls him a man of his equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We who had sweat fellowship together walked in the house of God and his throne. And in that passage, which is also applied to Judas, if you over in the New Testament, there's a where it's applied in the New Testament, it's about Judas and Jesus. He refers back to this very passage right here in Psalms about David is describing the shock of one who he had worshiped God with and who he had regularly been in contact. He called him a friend. He called him a great guy. But yet he ends up and betrays him. So lay aside all the betrayal for a moment. Let's just get back to where we want to go. But now I just want you to realize what kind of life is Bathsheba living around these men. And it doesn't say anything about her mother, but usually they're yoked up to the same type of woman also. But realize you must live, what kind of life do you think you'd have to live around? Around someone who says God himself spoke. So this man was a man also after God's own heart. Now, there was of the highest order. It can only come from a close walk with God. Acts 4:13 says, "Now when they say the boldness of Peter and John and perceive that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." You see, look at me. Today, God is not worried about how educated you are. God is not worried about where you started this thing or even where you are right now. Again, he's worried about where you're going from here. The Bible says he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. In other words, he'll take the most dysfunctional mother. He'll take the most dysfunctional father. Whatever it takes to get accomplished what he wants to accomplish in your family's life.
That's right.
He can break off the curses off of the things that may have happened from your heritage, from those things. You don't even know if you grew up also in church. If you grew up and things, your family was that, and you're the one, and like myself, may have been the black sheep of the family, it's all right. God still has a plan. His plan has not changed, and He's the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be forevermore. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout about that. I'm thankful this morning that God is no respecter of person. In other words, the crowd connected the powerful speaking here and the closeness with Jesus in that scripture in Acts 4:13 that Peter and John, fishermen, who are these men, they said. So, Bathsheba was born to a godly man, had a godly grandfather up until he betrayed David, okay? Doesn't sound like the home of the evil, right? I mean, that we would think about, when we think about Bathsheba, a lot of times we're thinking harlot, right? I mean, just, but that's not the case here. It really isn't. Consider also that her grandfather turned against David, may believe because of what he did to his granddaughter. Now, I'm a grandfather now. If I had a granddaughter, I don't know what I'd do. Right? Let's be real. So, maybe later on when the presidency elect thing come up and he turned against David, can you think maybe he had a little bit of that still burning inside?
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we got to look at that whole picture also. The Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. You ever heard that? With adultery, all that was lost for Bathsheba and her family. A name meant something back then in the day. You were known for your name. So you can see that maybe that had a role to play in that betrayal even later on. And if David was the most guilty party, he did that to your granddaughter. Right? That's the mindset. So we can look at that a little different now. We start looking at that whole story. And I want you to notice also the fact that when the prophet Nathan goes to David to confront him, and you can see that over there in the scripture 12, that Nathan confronts him. It's David who's actually charged with a sin. Mm-hmm. Bathsheba is nowhere mentioned. Do you ever notice that? It's never brought up. So we don't know the whole circumstance there, right? Whether he lured her in, he drew her into that place or whatever. He's the king, right? He sent for her. The things happened. We don't even know what really happened there. So with that mindset, we see a whole other picture also. David's punished, it says. It says David's the one that's punished, not Bathsheba. Of course, yeah, there was consequences. They lost the baby. But yet God knew. He knows the intent of our heart. And so we're looking at the whole picture. Consider also that when David saw Bathsheba, he asked her about who she was and was told that she was, first of all, married. Mm-hmm. Right? She was married. And second, married to one of David's men of valor, one of his close friends probably. Maybe the one he led to the Lord. Maybe the one that was his disciple. We don't know, but he was enough to where he said, I'm not leaving your side, David. Even though he's trying to get him away and give him a break and all these things, it was a setup that David actually did here. So when he called for her, after getting that info, he was willingly sinning. And today, we call that intent. They call that intent. in the court systems, in criminals, it's a way stiffer penalty than if it's an accidental or not, you know what I'm saying? Come on. So now let's consider her actions after she become David's wife. Solomon, her second son, y'all know, everybody knows Solomon, I heard it brought up, 2 Samuel 12:24-25. Now let's read it. Then David confronted his wife and went into her and lay with her, and she gave birth to a son, and he named him Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, it said.
David didn't confront Bathsheba. David comforted
Bathsheba. Excuse me, I said, yes, comforted, confronted, and sent word through Nathan the prophet, and he named him Jedidiah for the Lord's sake. Man, isn't that funny? Did you know that Solomon's name from the Lord was Jedidiah? It was. You know what Jedidiah means? The name Jedidiah is the name the prophet gave him, Nathan, with direction of God, and it means beloved of Jehovah. And so Solomon means peace. So God looked at it whole totally different, didn't he? He didn't look at him as like, he's the bastard child, let's just be honest, right? Or where there's something going on, or he's one of those, or he's from that. He looked at him with love. He looked at him with love, and now the Lord loved him. It says, does that sound like to you, like a God that's still holding something against David or Bathsheba? No. He blessed them with a child, another child, after the one that died. He still turned around and blessed them.
Yes.
He didn't just curse him the rest of his life. He didn't curse Bathsheba the rest of her life. He said, I love him. I will love your children. And as much as it probably pained him for the consequences of the sin, it didn't stop there. It didn't continue.
Yeah.
He said, enough's enough, and I blessed you. I want you to name him Jedidiah, beloved of Jehovah. And so this was a marriage that wasn't supposed to even happen, and yet God crowned it with his blessing. Why? Why do you think? Perhaps to teach us that life after adultery, after divorce, is not, after sin, is not the unforgivable.
Come on.
Sin.
Come on. Yes.
And if religion tells you that divorce, these things, you can't be forgiven, you better get away from that.
Come on.
Because my Lord Jesus, he hung on a cross. He died for every sin. There is no unforgivable sin. And in that same love, this is what we see from a God Almighty. The Father. And he's not the God of wrath. He's the God of love. And he's the God of love in this situation with Bathsheba. Not just life. He didn't just give him life. He gave him abundant life. Like Jesus said in John 10:10. You can have abundant life. When you repent of your sins. When you place your faith in God. And you surrender to him as Lord. That's what he'll give you. Forgiveness. He'll give it to you, your mother, your anyone who has harmed you. If you're willing to go that extra mile and throw yourself down on the mercy seat of God. But Sheba's not the story of a perfect woman. But of a woman whose life was amazingly touched by grace. And how completely accepted she was after that touch. And that is what makes her a model mother that we can look to today. Mothers don't get it right all the time.
Come on.
Mine sure didn't. Anybody else? Can I get an amen? Amen? They don't get it right all the time. You may be that mother. You won't get it right all the time. But I'm telling you this morning, I've come with a message to tell you God loves you, and He don't love our sin, but He loves you when you're willing to admit you're wrong and when you've done wrong, and He will be the one that restores. He will be the one that will bless you just like He did at Bathsheba and David in the end. God took away her tarnished name, the shame of adultery, and told her and David quite clearly, I love your child. And I'm going to bless your marriage too. So Bathsheba had three more children and with David. And there's interest in here, and I'm going to hurry, but this is some good stuff. I want you to see all this, like the pattern and what God is doing here. In 1 Chronicles 3:5, He says, and these were born to him in Jerusalem. And here's some more of them names. Shimea, Shobai, Nathan, and Solomon. Four of Bathsheba and the daughter of Amelia. The daughter of Amelia. And by the way, Bathsheba is a variant of Bathsheba's name. And did you notice that name Nathan in her son? One of her sons? Oh, can you see the heart of a mother? Can you see what God even did there in this whole story? Nathan is the prophet who what? He confronted David. And I can't get in the story for lack of time. Look it up. He confronted David and told him, you're wrong. You're wrong. Not only that, but you're going to suffer. You're going to go through consequence. Your baby's going to die, he told him. David, he lay in sackcloth and ashes, and he wept and cried out to God. But there was a consequence of it. And he did. He died. And so, but look at this. The man who confronted David in sin became so highly regarded by them that they turned around and they named their son after him. Is that forgiveness? Does that come by anybody but the Father? It can't. Can I tell you this morning, the only healer is God Almighty. Amen. The only one that can forgive like that is God Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes and lives inside of us, that can forgive anything, any betrayal, any kind of hurt. Confirmation is not easy, is it? When somebody comes, if the prophet comes to tell you something like this and read your mouth, how does that feel? It don't feel too good, does it? Most of the time, people ain't going to put up with that. They're going to quit church. They hear a message like this, or they hear something that's wrong, or the pastor comes to them and says, listen, I recognize this in your life. What do you think about it? Oh, they take offense. And that is the bait of Satan. That's why he destroys, and like I said last week, he's trying to destroy the church. And he wants to get in there. So stay with me. It gets even better. We all know that Solomon is in Jesus' lineage, right? Okay. Well, get this. Matthew 1:6, and Jesse was born David the king, and David was born Solomon by her, who had a wife of Uriah. But did you also know another one of Bathsheba's sons are in the lineage of Jesus? In Luke 3:31, it says, which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Matthiah, which was the son of, guess what? Nathan, which was the son of David. Whew, I got Holy Ghost goosebumps. The lineage is there. God's plan and purpose is still coming through the woman that was not the virtuous woman at that time. But yet God still had a plan. And He will fulfill it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The Luke's gospel is believed to be Mary's genealogies, and Matthew's is believed to be Joseph's genealogy. So we're seeing Mary's genealogy here through the other side. And it's coming through the lineage of Christ. Not only one of her children, but two of them is in Jesus' lineage. Listen to this. So let's recap so far. Bathsheba comes from a very godly family. Two of her children are in Jesus' lineage. Her second son is proclaimed to be the beloved of Jehovah. She names one of her children after the prophet Nathan. Even if she is equally at fault with David in adultery, she appears from the scriptural record to be a wonderful example of the acceptance and elevation of sinners, or a sinner from the kingdom of darkness into marvelous light. Amen. David had 8 wives and perhaps 10 concubines, it said. God could have chosen from any of these women that for the lineage of Christ, but for whatever reason, God chose from this lineage. Glory be to God. He is no respecter of person.
Right.
He is the God that does not look upon all your failures.
Come on.
Huh. He is not the one who looks at the things that you have done and have not done. He is worried about you and you right now with your relationship. And so we see it here in this story. So when God saves someone, He didn't just forgive them. He elevates them. He brings them to the next place in Him, in God. You see, but you've got to stay in this thing. You've got to stay in it to win it. You've got to be in the race, Paul said, to complete the race. It's a fight. It's a battle. And so here we see that they didn't give up. And so there's an example here we can talk about is the prodigal son. And what did the prodigal son do? He left for all the riches of the world. But when he found himself in the pig pen of life, when he went out there and it wasn't all that, he squandered everything that he had, what did he do? He turned around. He had to turn around and face reality that it was better at the Father's house. And the Father was there with open arms, and not only was that, with the love, He gave him a robe, didn't He? He gave him a ring, which represented kingship, redeemer, and all the part of the royal priesthood. And He also said, go kill the fatted calf. And so we understand that that's the way God is. And Bathsheba is that story of a woman with a skeleton in her closet, who became a close member, a royal family. Man, think about that. All this stuff that went on, but yet God elevated her. He elevated David, and He said, this is who I've chosen. So she became a mother of favor. She became a chosen woman of God. Can somebody get happy about that today? I don't know where you're at in your life, but God does, and He knows that if we will bow our knees before Him and we repent of our sins, He is faithful and just. And He'll forgive us. And He'll not only forgive us, He moves us to the next place in life. So lastly, since it's Mother's Day, I want you to direct your attention to Proverbs 31. We're going to close here. And everybody's heard this priest talk, virtuous woman, all these things. But we're going to concentrate on a couple of things. But first of all, look at 31:1. And the word of the king. Anybody want to try that name? Lemuel.
Lemuel,
which side of the track you're from. The oracle which his mother taught him. Okay, now, listen to this. This is good stuff. Who is this Lemuel, and who is his mother? Okay, prior to the 19th century, Jewish and Christian authorities were almost unanimous ascribing who the king and his mother were than more recent scholars, okay? Now, today I'm going with old school. I believe in my studies, I'm going with old school. And it says that Lemuel was a pet name for Solomon given to him by his mother Bathsheba. When I look at that, boy, I'm getting goosebumps. I'll tell you what you're looking at right here. And this is my, not only mine, but scholars from way back that says this was written by Bathsheba. Proverbs 31.
Wow.
And today, we can look at this and see the fact that the Jewish authorities say that this was given to Solomon by his mother Bathsheba as a reproof of his marriage and actually a Pharaoh's daughter. You remember the story?
Uh-huh.
And it makes sense because the chapter discusses two things of great weakness in here. And you look at 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5. And anybody know what those two great weaknesses he had? Wine and women. Does it make sense? Does it line up? Come on. So, and verse 10 through the end of the chapter describes what a godly woman is like that the king should be wanting to marry. So here in Proverbs 31, we have a mother being a mother and attempting to teach her son to live a godly life and to find and marry a virtuous woman and not one that simply appears to the eye if you look and see. This is mothering at its finest, is it not? And all you women who've heard sermons about Proverbs 31 now, isn't it amazing probably that this was written by Bathsheba? It's amazing when you really study that. What a trophy of grace. Just like the Father, right? And also, the King James, if you break that one down, one says, leaders can't afford... Well, if you look back in 31, the word of King Limit, the oracle, which his mother taught him. And then the other one in the King James, that's New American Standard. The King James says the prophecy that his mother taught him. So this is a prophecy even. When you look at one more thing about it, it says it's a be a prophecy. So how many of you envision Bathsheba as being so close to God? He spoke through her. Think about it. Prophetess now. He elevated her even to a place that she was so anointed by God. She's in this book. Glory to God. God can take you from a trash heap to his lineage. God. God can promote you. He can elevate you. He can raise you to a place to be the godly mother that you want for your children or the grandmother. You may have messed up. Your mama may have messed up. But can you not look at her today as messing up? Can you look at her today with eyes like God looks at you? And yourself, can you look at the whole picture now, a little bigger, and say, God, if you can love her, even though she messed up, even though she didn't get it right, she did a lot of things wrong, maybe that's you, I don't know, but you can say, I forgive her, like you did, Lord. I'm looking at her with your eyes today. I can love her because you loved her. And you can also break the curse, if there is one. You can break that curse right now at the foot of Jesus because everything, His grace, is sufficient. Amen?
Amen.
We'll close here. So, is there any Bathshebas in here today?
Amen. Yeah.
You might be able to give birth to Solomon. Some of you may be too old to, but your daughter might. Your son might. It don't matter which side of the lineage. I love all y'all. Is there anything today that God can't do? I want you to focus on this whole story. Did anybody see it in a different perspective today?
Yeah. Thank you.
Great work. Ain't you glad that God loves us despite our defects, our character defects, and He don't look at us the way we look at each other? And sometimes we look in our families, man, we can have some dysfunctional families. We've made some bad mistakes that they regretful. There's consequences have been. But today, God is the restorer. God is the God of love, and He's the same today as He is in this story, and He will be forevermore. Let's bow our heads. If you're in here today and you felt the love of God touch your heart, if you're in here today and this story hit home to you, I want you to just reach up to heaven right now with your arms and surrender to God and say, Lord, change my heart. Help me to love my mother. Help me to be the mother I need to be. Whatever it is you need right now from God, I believe He's going to touch you. Through your surrender right now, God will fulfill His promise. If you will surrender to God right now, He will put a love in your heart, and He will restore what the enemy's tried to destroy. Father, I believe today You would touch everyone in this room. And those, God, who may be suffering with pain and missing a mother, they will know that, Lord, You still provided a way, and that's through Your Son, Jesus. And that's called eternal life. And God, that we have a promise always from You. And in Jesus' name, we come to You and ask. We seek You. And we thank You that when we do this, we find You. Healing right now over anyone in the heart that there's calloused over. Destroy the work of the enemy, God, right now. And in Jesus' name, lay Your hand on them. Holy Spirit, comfort those who might feel alone without their mother today. Holy Spirit, touch, heal, deliver, set free. And in Jesus' name, we give You all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. Well, remember, real quickly before we break, I put a sign up sheet in there. Anybody that's wanting to try to find a place in the church.